I love the story of John the Baptist sending to Christ from the prison, "Are you the one?" When we are in the pit, when we feel totally abandoned, when people are denying our grace, denying our truth, you know, when we're having to keep persevering, we too will feel like that.
You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. This is episode 237. Today, I'm talking with Marina Carrier about how to find healing from the effects of trauma and abuse. And Marina is going to share from her own healing journey. You're listening to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I'm James Early, your host, and this is the place to be to rediscover the original Christianity of Jesus. Each week, we talk about how Jesus wanted us to think and act and pray and live our daily lives. And we dig down into the mindset of Jesus to discover how we can think and act like he did. The goal is to experience more of Jesus' promise that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Hello there, and welcome again to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. I really appreciate you tuning in and listening today. This week, I have a really wonderful guest who has a powerful healing message to share. Her name is Marina Carrier, and I want to welcome you to the Bible Speaks to You podcast. Marina?
Thank you very much, James. It's a joy to be here, and let's hope that the Holy Spirit works to bring to the light the wonder of God's grace and healing.
Well, I know that's exactly what's going to happen. Marina and I are going to be talking about a kind of heavy-duty topic that we don't always like to hear about or talk about, but I've come to know that a lot of people are struggling with this, and so we're going to face this head-on, and that's the whole, well, it comes under the general heading of healing, but specifically finding healing from the effects of abuse of various kinds. And Marina's going to share some of her own healing journey from the effects of abuse in her own life. I want to tell you a little bit about Marina, and this is just the human story that she's gone through. She was born out of wedlock, and she was an unwanted child. She was abused sexually by her stepfather up till about the age of 9. Obviously, that had an impact on her life. She was active in school. She did well in school. She eventually got her master's in applied research in education and then worked on her PhD at the University of East Anglia. After a long career in education, she realized she needed to take a step back and take care of herself spiritually and deal with some of these things that had been early in her life. But she had really an amazing career in education. Throughout her career, she taught at all different levels. She ended up working as the acting head of the Department of In-Service Education of Teachers at Bristol Polytechnic. And recently, though, in the last number of years, she's really come back to the church. God has called her to help others. And through facing her own dark night of the soul, to use that language, she's found the ability to help others who need healing and find out what it means to live in the Spirit and the truth. And she wants to bring that healing message of Christ to others that have suffered trauma, PTSD, abuse, whatever somebody's struggling with. Marina, again, I want to thank you so much for being here today. Is there anything else you'd like to share from your personal story that has helped you get where you are right now? Just so my listeners will get a little more feel of what's motivating you. What makes you tick, Marina, that you want to be so helpful now to people?
I could tell you a million things, but really, I was a failed abortion. And, you know, the reality is that God gave me life. So in a sense, I've always been in his hands. And when I first came back to the church 30 years ago and started reading the Bible, and read, "Though your father and mother forget you, I will never forget you," I wept from deep inside me because I knew it was true. And that's where I get my motivation from. It's not me, if you see what I mean. It's him being taught things by the Spirit, like, whatever you do, put your whole heart into it. You know, so if I was knitting or whatever, I just knew I had to do it to the best of my ability. And that's what happened after the near-death experience at 9. And God actually gave me his words to understand this just 10 years ago. I'm now 81. That sort of puts things in perspective. When I had suffered this near-death experience and really had lost every ounce of hope, strength, courage because of what happened, he gave me his strength. So that's when I was able to go into my head, because my heart was shut away, because there was no hope or anything inside me. But he gave me new life through learning. And so after some 9 and a half about, so by 11, I was top of the class. I'd been failing. I just did school, but I became involved in it. So I passed to a very good grammar school. And then at a point where I was failing again, because my mother she just didn't have it in her to be able to support me. And he gave me this boyfriend who taught me how to study. Nowadays, I'd have been identified as being very dyslexic. He taught me how to reduce my notes. I'll tell you, I'll give you this as a free tip. If you find it very difficult to learn things, reduce it all to 2 pages, you know, and then you'll be able to learn it. I could do the think links, but I couldn't remember things because I'd buried all this stuff in me had been buried, all my lived out life. And, you know, I just want to say to anyone listening who was a victim of abuse, of trauma, God loves you. Anything else is a lie. If we keep turning to him, this is my lesson. My lesson, constantly to me, keep turning to him. Keep praying, and he will bring you through. And it says, all manner of things will be well. And that's awesomely true for those who trust in the Lord.
Are there any stories in the Bible that you found particularly helpful when you started facing all those things you'd hidden away in your heart? You said you'd been in your head, you did really well in school, but at some point you had to face those things you had hidden away. Were there any Bible stories that were helpful to you?
I remember at that stage, I wasn't a Bible scholar at all. I mean, I really wasn't. But the thing that was most helpful to me was the relationship with God. And when I was crying on my bed because the man I was living with didn't want to marry me, he led me. Because I had his spirit, I was baptized as a child, I had his spirit deep within me. God wasn't a word in my vocabulary at that time. He couldn't, at that time, you know, immediately when I came back to him, he couldn't use Bible verses to me because he didn't have any.
You didn't know any Bible. I see. Okay.
But every day I was soaking up the Bible, you know, like a sponge. But at one day he said to me, "I want the truth." Well, first of all, I was shocked that I'd heard something. But I didn't sort of argue. I just said to this voice, "But I'm miserable. You won't want me." And he said, "Try me."
Oh, I love that.
So, you know, yeah, and that's the truth. So that's what's kept me through. But, you know, more maturely, I love the story of John the Baptist sending to Christ from the prison, "Are you the one?" I love that story.
And why does that speak to you?
Because God is so merciful to include that story in the Bible. You know, it wasn't ironed out as not very holy and John the Baptist to the question. No, he wanted us to know that when we are in the pit, when we feel totally abandoned, when people are denying our grace, denying our truth, you know, when we're having to keep persevering, we too will feel like that.
Oh.
And so I find it, it's a bit like the Jabez Prayer, which is in 1 Chronicles 4, 9 to 10. In a list of genealogy, it suddenly says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and he was called Jabez because he was born in pain. So he's obviously, you know, he was traumatized. He was abused. You know, he was not loved. He was not welcomed. And then it goes on and he says, he cried to the Lord, bless me. Because when we're living out of trauma, we're seeking to please. We're seeking to serve. We're seeking to be good enough. We're seeking to live for God's love. But deep inside, there is nothing that enables us to receive God's love. So he says, extend my boundaries that you may be with me, that I hurt no one and am not hurt. Now, I was brought to this prayer, I don't know, second or third year, well, after I'd come back to the church. But I live with it even now, because it's got everything. It's got feeling the pain, needing a blessing, turning to God.
One of the things I love about the prayer of Jabez, as it, we have come to call it, is that he's asking God to bless him and enlarge his territory, enlarge his boundaries.
That's right.
Enlarge his world, however you want to interpret that.
All of it, yeah.
The beautiful thing is here, sometimes we feel that we shouldn't do that because that's selfish. But he's saying, God, I know you love me. Let me experience your love. And I think I've never thought of that from the perspective of someone who has suffered the trauma of abuse, because that's not part of my story, really. But I'm looking at in a whole new way now for someone who has been through some kind of abusive situation. And whatever it is, you have full permission from the Bible. The Bible's giving you authority to pray this same prayer that Jabez did.
Exactly.
God, bless me. I am worthy of your blessing. Because sometimes after abuse, I know people don't feel worthy. They feel shame. They feel guilt when it's not even their fault. And right now, Marina and I are saying to you, if you have experienced any kind of abuse, or if you know someone has, you have permission, they have permission to ask God to bless them, that you deserve it, you're worthy of it, and God loves you. As you said earlier, Marina, God loves you and wants you to feel blessed. That's why he created you in the first place. And I love the last line, God granted his request.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And the thing is, you see, as trauma brains, we are physiologically damaged, all right? So we need to have our boundaries extended. He needed to give me writing courses where I had to have to describe things. I learned I didn't know what anything looked like because it wasn't part of my world. I shut in. You know, just learn what people want, learn what the rules are and try and do it. You know, so to take in beauty and love and all those things, I needed to learn how to write. And I needed to learn how to paint and use colour. I've got no colour in me. I couldn't do colour.
Hmm.
He wants to extend our boundaries so that we can say glory to God for what he's given us. Because if we're in this terribly narrow black and white world, it's not very easy to glorify God.
I love the point you're making here, is this idea of expanding boundaries. I think this could apply to anyone in any situation. Maybe you haven't suffered from the effects of abuse of something, but maybe you've got a challenge. Maybe you're struggling at work, or there's a family relationship, or you're struggling with a health issue, whatever it is. I love this, enlarge my boundaries, enlarge my territories. I love to garden, for example, and I've always done that, so that's not really enlarging my boundaries. But let's say someone is in a narrow little frame of mind, what if you learned how to garden or do something new you've never done before? Take singing lessons, take painting lessons, take a how to garden class, take a sewing class, take a cooking class.
Anything.
Anything. It gets you out of yourself. You learn new skills. You learn that God is there with you. That's a very practical kind of thing, but it's really one of the things that Jabez realized he needed. And sometimes we think, oh, I'm just going to sit here in my little box, in my little prayer chair. I'm going to pray until the problem is solved or healed. But sometimes we need to get out of our prayer chair and go do something. Go find someone else that we can love. I think that is probably one of the best ways to expand your boundaries is find someone else that you can love. You may be able to help them. They may not be as far along as you are, or maybe they have had a worse experience. Well, if you love someone, that expands your boundaries like nothing else can. We don't want to hide up in a hole somewhere in a cave and be so secluded that there's no one in your life to love. It could be a cat or your dog. You need to love someone. That expands the heart quicker than anything, don't you think?
I think that's a very important point. But you've got to remember that many traumatized people are people pleasers. And they get so that they can do anything that anybody else wants, but they never hear what's going on in here.
Okay, so how do they face that? How do they really come to terms with that?
Well, first of all, they've got to be willing to listen to God. You know, that's the first important thing. Know that through the heart, if you read a Bible verse, sometimes something goes ping, you know, and you know that you've got to spend more time with it. Or you see something outside and it's more than just a tree or something. It's somehow speaking to you, and it's learning to listen to those intuitive things where God is trying to break into something hardened or dark or unfruitful. So that starts to get in. But the point is, all of our pain is deep in our heart. They know that trauma is held in the body. The things that the brain cannot digest get locked in to the body, and we can't hear. And the point about these activities, like learning something new, is that it starts to use different areas of the brain without trauma, you know, so that somehow they're all being revitalized. So I realized that God sending me to Switzerland, where it was initially an English-speaking community I was in, but I then was in a parish. It was all French. And my schoolgirl French was never good. And, you know, that was like 30 years before. So I had to relearn French. And I couldn't even... It was to begin with, you know. So I had to reuse those things that were terribly damaged. And I had to listen and hear and discern. So, you know, listening to music, I can now hear music here. That's taken years. So the thing is, all these things are going to help you expand your boundaries by take up a language or go and live in a foreign country, you know, and have to learn the language by immersion. It's really wonderful, but you've got to learn to trust. So every night I was in the church, and then I'd be there the following morning with my little cahier, I think you call it, notebook. And at the end of my time, the spiritual father I had found was the only monk priest who spoke English. And our last session before I came back to England, it was all in French. He was sitting there. I said in French, "What's the matter?" "C'est un miracle. It's a miracle." So, I mean, really what I'm saying is take those opportunities to extend your boundaries. God will give them to you, but don't close down. Risk.
What would you say to someone? I know a lot of my listeners have probably not experienced abuse, although I heard recently this is in America, that 1 in 4 men were abused sexually as a child, 1 in 3 women, or even more than that. I had no idea. A lot of people aren't even wanting to admit or have pushed that away. They're not dealing with it. How can someone who maybe has had that happen and they're tucked it away so deep in their heart, they've kind of suppressed that memory or those feelings or that all that trauma. What would you say to them, maybe from the Bible or something God has said to you that you think might help them take the first step that they need to find healing? We're talking about finding healing.
Absolutely. Well, what God said to I'm backtracking slightly, but I'm getting to your question. When I first came to him, I had just discovered about my abuse because a member of staff at the Polytechnic had asked my in-service teacher's team, had asked me whether I thought it was a good idea that she put on a day or we put on a day to help teachers recognize symptoms of child abuse. And I said, yes, absolutely. Do you want me to front it with you? Oh, yes, please, she said. So at the end of the day, I was in a mess because it just triggered everything.
Mm.
Presumably, it reminded me of my reactions and my shame, bit of whatever. I did get some immediate healing. I was receiving prayer healing at church. But then there came a point where God said, no, I want you to put your healing in my hands and you work for me.
Oh.
Because we can't do it ourselves. But the other thing he told me right at the beginning of my, being called back to him and, giving my life to him was write. So I'd started writing journals about everything. So I've even got my first prayer journal, where I wrote down the prayer, wrote what scripture it related to, and space for God's answer. And, I wrote down sermons and, my daily meditations on the Bible and whatever. And eventually, because my journey went on through different denominations, I just kept writing. And whenever I'd got a question, a barrier, he would give me a scripture. And I would look it up, and then there'd be meditations about that scripture. So it was a long time of listening to him and listening to myself and writing, but not focusing on the problem, if you like, focusing on the moving forward and the serving and learning how to love and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, that's such a good point. I just want to say, yeah, focus on where you're going.
Yeah, exactly. But I got to a point where I'd been at a fortnightly or two-monthly healing session with a Catholic priest and a Catholic woman, I think. And I used to take my Catholic friend to this and was involved, listening to people and, giving whatever prayer God put onto my heart. But at the end of the session, the Lord said to me, will you go to her and ask for healing? No, ask for prayer. So I went to, everybody else had gone, and I went to the woman. And she prayed, and she said, oh, what a deep well of pain. So I knew it was there, but my awareness of it gave God permission to start to bring it up. And then I got to a point where he said, I want you to listen to your pain. And the situation had, my life had fallen apart, all my nicely ordered, life doing this and this and this. Had fallen apart. I'd got nowhere to live. I wasn't nowhere. Didn't know where I was going. And I was offered this little cottage in the middle of nowhere in Wales. And I had confirmation from 3 different people, including a totally unknown priest, that I was to go and do this. So I went very reluctantly to listen to my pain. And I would just say to anyone who feels their pain, just say, Lord, I want in your time and in your way to release this. Now, when I was praying about that, I have a program called the Lifter Program, which is essentially about this. And when I asked the Lord, but people don't have time. He said, if people will give me half an hour a day, I will lead them through. So really what I started to do in this place was to not go anywhere, including virtually out of bed. I didn't do my morning prayer, you know, the set prayers or anything, until I had listened. And so it was an extension of God saying to me, I want the truth. So I listened and I learned to be willing to go into very dark places. But there was always a light, always. I just had to keep going. I have to keep journeying. Always there was a light.
I love that. I like the metaphor of a messy closet. Maybe you've got old junk in a closet. It's crammed in there. It's stuff from your past, either good memories or bad memories. But at some point, you've got to clean it out. You can't clean it out unless you open the door and take all that stuff out. And people say, listen to your pain. I know some of my listeners might not have that kind of lingo, but I think that the metaphor that works for me is you have to face these things. You have to look them in the face. And then with God's help, like you said, you can't heal yourself. I love that idea of God said, here, let me do this for you. I think that's a real turning point where someone's not trying to run away from a problem or pretend it's not there on the surface. But when we'll say, okay, God, I need your help. I can't do this by myself. And we can then hear God say, this healing is in my, we put the healing in God's hands. You said it something like that. That is so powerful. And then you release it, and it doesn't mean you just forget about anything. I love the idea of writing in a journal. I've been writing in a journal since 1981, and it has changed my life. Now it's pretty much conversations I have with God back and forth. And that's very healing.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a question. I want to shift here a little bit. Let's say someone has not had any kind of a situation in their life like yours. They haven't had any kind of abuse, and their life has gone pretty well, relatively speaking. And so when they meet someone that has been through something like you have, either they don't know how to relate, they might say things that are insensitive or not helpful or actually hurtful because they think they're trying to be helpful. What could someone like that say to someone who, say, in your situation that hasn't gotten as far along in the healing journey as you have, that hasn't started their healing journey or is just starting it? What are some things to say that are really helpful and maybe some things that they shouldn't say?
Right. Well, don't try and fix them for a start.
Oh, that's good.
Don't give them platitudes because you can't.
Right.
And that's what you need to say. A monk once said to me, and it was so healing, he said, I'll never know God like you because I've not suffered like you have.
That's really powerful. Say that again.
I will never know God like you know him because I've never suffered like you.
Hmm.
You see, there's a head and a heart knowledge of God. And we might know all the head things.
Yeah.
But, you know, and even for me, I can tell myself, you know, with my head. But my heart is saying, oh, my God, why have you abandoned me? And I have to open my heart door, allow Christ in, and allow the Holy Spirit and the redeeming work of Christ. I have to be shown where I'm still not forgiving somebody, or where I'm not repenting, or where I'm putting up a barrier, you know, to God's work. And so if somebody, I actually wrote about this, so many people, and because we have false dependencies, you know, trauma brain, one of the things is about, you know, wanting to grab onto anybody who might be able to help. But they don't. They just take away from your strength. You need to build your inner being. And if you are so full of yourself because you've never suffered, just think about their inner being and listen and seek to understand. Can you explain that more? I really want to understand what it's like.
Yeah, that is so powerful to just listen, try to understand, don't try to correct them, don't try to fix them. Yeah, you don't. We don't like it when somebody tries to fix us.
No.
Why do we think that?
I know.
So listen with your heart and not with your head is what's coming to me. Listen with your heart. Be compassionate. How would Jesus treat someone who had suffered abuse? He would be compassionate. He would listen. He would love them. He would tell them about the kingdom of God. He would tell them, I forgive you. Your sins are forgiven. He said, you know, he would say all kinds of wonderful things. He'd be looking at them through the lens of God's love for them.
Can I say something else as well, which is only more recent years, as I've grown in knowledge of God?
Sure.
In relation to all of us made in the image of God, right? That's what the word says. You know, in the image of God, he made them man and woman. Right?
Right.
Well, I was way down the line before I had any concept of that at all. But I have a greater understanding of it now. And I actually see that we need to see people in relation to the crucified Christ.
And now, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he's shown me just this week that not only was the very conception is a holy act, all right, is a life-giving act. You know, being given life in the fetus is holy. You know, I was, in a sense, crucified even at that point. And then not being wanted at birth because I was the wrong gender. And then this horrendous silencing and crucifixion, denial of my being, my will, my anything, you know, when I was 9. It is a crucifixion, and we have to seek to understand, how is this person crucified? How is this person on a cross, unable to act, and yet goes around forgiving people, and isn't angry and bitter? So it really is very, very important to see beyond our box. Whichever denomination you're in, you know, get out your box. Get out of the box.
Right.
And remember that you are a child of God and a living witness, and be unto the other as God would.
I love that. And I didn't know where you were going to go with your comment about identifying with the crucifixion, but when we can have that same spirit of forgiveness in the midst of, talk about abuse, you know, it was totally unjustified, obviously. And yet he had that spirit of forgiveness. He turned to the Father. He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Total, total trust. And then I think that includes then that we also can identify with Jesus in the resurrection, because God restored him to life. There was a victory over all that death,
exactly,
all that trauma,
exactly,
all the pain. And so we can also, if we suffer with him, we also be glorified with him, the Bible says.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. So my dear, dear, dear listeners, our dear listeners, James's dear listeners, if you have suffered, all you're waiting for is the glory. If you keep turning to the Father, keep trusting that Christ is with you, and keep forgiving. It gives you freedom. It gives you life. It gives you joy. It gives you the extension of your boundaries, because you don't have to be tied to the cross anymore.
Amen. Marina, we're going to have to close up here pretty quick. I want to thank you so much for being here, and I want to honor you. You have had a wonderful, amazing journey of healing, and you've taken this healing and you're helping others to find healing as well. That's a remarkable story in and of itself, and I just really appreciate you sharing that. Is there any last final word you'd like to leave with my listeners?
Never despair, because even when Christ was on the cross, he descended into hell and preached the gospel. And we can do that with ourselves.
Hmm.
You may not have anybody else, right? Other people may not see what you know and are because they're blind, because they see you as a woman or they see you as this or you're not such and such. God doesn't see you like that. He sees you for your yes to him, to your morning prayer and your morning saying, yes, Lord, this is your day. I am putting myself into your hands. And I have to say, James just iterated, and I'm going to reiterate, Jesus' words, when I feel crucified and have no idea what to do, I say, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then things happen.
That's beautiful.
We are living as a sort of a go-between of this world and the next, and we are the hands and the feet and the voice and the love. And when you don't know what to say to somebody, love them. That's the best thing.
And that's what we all need. Totally. Marina, I always ask my guests three final questions. And so the first one for you is, if you could talk to anyone in the Bible other than Jesus, who would you talk to and what would you ask them?
I think I would talk to I call her my blessed mother, Mary. Because it's believed through, I think it's the Gospel of James or Thomas, I can't remember, that she spent her early years after her mother, because she'd been a miracle birth, because they'd been childless, and Joachim and Anna are conceived after prayer, that she was given to the temple, given to God at the age of three. And I believe that my beginning was the age of three, but I don't know. But I would ask her how she got through being parentless all those years up until Joseph became her husband. And then also the suffering that she had, the prophecy of Simeon to her, and your heart too shall be pierced. So I no longer surprised when I am suffering. Because I think this is the truth. Because I think as women, you know, we are brides. We are made to be brides. And if we're really seeking to live for God, we can't go about being a macho bride. Our macho-ness is within, inner strength that can't be overcome, even when we're crucified and pilloried and treated as nothing. I'm afraid that's still a reality in the world in many ways. So we either get, you know, the macho women doing this, or we get the pilloried bit. But to stand in Christ, there is nothing that can overcome that strength.
That inner spiritual strength is so true. Here's the second question. Is there any Bible character you especially identify with?
Job.
Job?
Yes, because I loved all my work in education. I absolutely adored it, but I hadn't dealt with all this stuff, and I didn't really know what love was, and I didn't know what humility was. And God actually told me once, I won't go into the story about that, but through him, I gave it back to him to acknowledge my dyslexia, my brokenness, you know, and to know my need of God. He'd given me everything. He'd given me everything I needed, you know, to do all the research I did, to answer real questions, you know, and to provide for teachers, new understandings of children and whatever. But I had to give it back. So I really identify with Job. Oh, and I tell you what, I'm Habakkuk. Though nothing grows in the fields, though there's no sheep or cattle in the fields, still I will trust in the God of my salvation. So there's two people, sorry.
I love that. Okay, so the third question is, the Bible Speaks to You podcast is about getting back to the original Christianity, the original message of Jesus, without all the stuff we've added to what he said in the last 2,000 years. How would you describe Jesus' original message of how he wants us to live our lives?
I think it sums up, really, with what he said to the disciples, who were all arguing about who's going to be first and who's going to be this and that and the other, or next to him.
Oh, right.
And he said, if you want to be my disciples, you become like a little child.
Hmm.
And that's what we need to be in relation to the Father. So as soon as I have a problem, as soon as I feel something's not right, I go to me dad.
Yeah, I love that. That is so beautiful. Marina, I want to thank you so much for taking some time with me today. What's the best way for people to be in touch with you?
Well, I'm on Facebook as Harlwin Marina, and you could friend me and send me a message. Or on my website, overcoming.live. I think you can message me there. I think probably Facebook is probably the easiest way because you can see the things that I do. I'm also on YouTube, which is HMC43, I think.
Well, I'll have those links in my show notes for the episode. So I'll put all those links in. So if you want to reach out to Marina, I know she'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or you're struggling with some of the things we've been talking about, I know she'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
Marina, I want to thank you again so much. It's been a delight to have you.
And thank you, James. It's just a delight to share through love and the Holy Spirit. So blessings to you.
And to you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Marina. If you know anyone who has been affected by abuse or trauma in any way, please share this episode with them. If you'd like to be in contact with Marina, I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. The best way to contact her will be in the show notes. And if you'd like to get a hold of me, go to thebiblespeakstoyou.com and click on the contact tab. I would love to hear from you, and I know Marina would too. If you haven't signed up yet for the Bible Speaks to You podcast on my website, just go to thebiblespeakstoyou.com and click on the subscribe tab in the menu bar. Fill out the form and you're all set. And when you do sign up, I'll send you a free prayer guide I put together called Praying with a Mindset of Jesus. That's one of the things I focus on here on the podcast is how to think and act and love like Jesus did. You'll find these Bible verses really helpful. For a full transcript of today's episode and all the Bible quotes, you can find those on the show notes page, thebiblespeakstoyou.com/237. This is episode 237. Hey, I want to thank you so much for all the ways you've been supportive, sharing this podcast with your friends. I've had a lot of new subscribers lately. I'm so grateful and welcome to each one of you as well. And all the many ways that you've been supportive, I'm so grateful to have you as a listener. That's it for this week. I'm James Early with the Bible Speaks to You podcast. Have a great week. Take care. And we'll see you next time. God bless.